Ari Rental and cinematographers Ed Lachman, ASC, and Marco Massinger collaborate on a new black and white camera for the Netflix movie El Conde, directed by Pablo Larraine. What if Augusto Pinochet, the dictator who haunted Chile from 1973 to 1990 with impunity, never truly died? What if he were a 250-year-old vampire, now bored of this world, worn down by familial strife and his own murderous misdoings, symbolizing a nation's unresolved pain and the allure of unchecked power? How can a filmmaker confront the captivating beauty emerging from such a malevolent metaphor, tragically anchored in real trauma? These are the essential threads weaving through El Conde, produced for Netflix by director Pablo Larraine's Fabula Productions and shot by renowned cinematographer Ed Lachman, ASC. Larraine is a native Chilean writer, producer, and director, best known internationally for his fictionalized portraits Jackie, 2016, and Spencer, 2021. Lachman recalls that when he got involved with El Conde, Larraine talked about wanting to shoot in black and white right from the beginning. The cinematographer says, "The abstract and distant nature of black and white cinematography seemed right. The film uses the vampire genre as a literal and metaphorical way of telling a story about political upheaval in Chile in the 1970s. Lachman is well known for continuing to shoot on analog film for certain projects in the digital age, earning his second Oscar nomination for 2015's Carol, his first was for Far From Heaven in 2003, and an Emmy nomination for Mildred Pierce, 2011, both captured on Super 16 with Ariflex 416 cameras. He says, "I would have liked to shoot El Conde on black and white negative, like I did on I'm Not There and Wonderstruck for Todd Haynes, even though Kodak hasn't substantially improved the exposure range, contrast or latitude of that stock in 50 years. But given the limitation that there were no film labs near our location in Chile, we opted for digital." For some years, Ari Rental had offered an exclusive black and white version of the Alexa XT, stripped of its Beyer mask and infrared filter, and therefore able to capture monochrome images with greater resolution, contrast, and sensitivity than regular Alexas. More recently, it had also developed an Alexa 65 variant, which, unlike the XT, did not fall foul of Netflix's native 4K delivery requirement. Lachman was intrigued by this option, but knew that most of the film would be shot with a 15-foot technocrane, so the black-and-white Alexa 65 might not have been sufficiently compact. Lachman says, "I reached out to my friend Marco Massinger in Germany, who always explores the extremes of technology in his art, to ask if he thought there was any way Ari could implement a monochromatic chip in the lighter, smaller Alexa Mini LF. I had my doubts because Ari were coming out with their new Alexa 35 camera, so I figured all their work and effort would be going into that. Marco spoke with Manfred Jahn at Ari Rental in Munich, and he was actually able to give me some encouragement." Marco Massinger is a German entrepreneur, cinematographer, imaging scientist, and associate member of the ASC. Having experimented with both analog and digital black and white capture before, he had a solid grounding in the science. When Manfred Jahn suggested that a monochromatic version of the large format Alexa Mini LF could theoretically be created, it was determined that Massinger would test the prototype in Germany and report back to Lachman. While Ari Rental is well used to developing custom solutions for its clients, the problem in this instance was time, or lack thereof. With the start of pre-production only a few weeks away, a team of Ari and Ari Rental technicians in Germany and the UK began working on a prototype camera. Massinger says, "It came together amazingly fast. From the initial idea to the moment where we started shooting tests, it was actually within 2 months. It was an incredible job by Ari Rental." Lachman adds, "Kudos to the whole Ari team, but especially to Stefan Schenk, Manfred Jahn, David Birnbach, and David Zucker, who all believed in the idea and made it happen." Massinger travelled to Munich from his home in Stuttgart for a test day with the prototype as soon as it was ready. He says, "Initially we did some lab tests to determine the ASA and the colour response of the camera. Then we had about 3 hours of remaining daylight to go out in the wild and shoot filter tests, because that is what interested Ed the most. Would the classic black and white filters behave in the same way as he knew from black and white film? And they actually did." Lachman was thrilled with the news. He recalls, "It was a big advantage for me that I could use my older black and white filters. Shooting with a colour camera is different from shooting true black and white, using yellows, oranges, reds and greens. Furthermore, the black and white sensor offers a distinctly different tonal range and grain structure than a colour sensor. I could go back to the way I exposed negative film and control the look in camera. Even with today's digital post-production and AI technology capabilities, there's a unique value in capturing your vision in real time. Massinger also believes that the essence of true cinematography transcends mere technicalities. He reflects, "These irreversible decisions have the potential to represent not only an artistic commitment, but also the embrace of a cinematographer's evolving role amidst a relentless technological evolution." While the allure of digital advances is undeniable, there's an unmatched authenticity, depth, and beauty in shaping a visual narrative in its rawest form on set, a practice that harmoniously merges the roots of cinema with its future. We're forging a bond, a guarantee that the initial vision remains pure, no matter how our tools evolve. This approach necessitates a ballet of trust, the production's belief in the director, the director's confidence in the cinematographer, and the cinematographer's trust in his crew. Through this, we don't just adapt to innovations, but recognise that they always have been and will be an intrinsic part of cinema. Lorraine's faith in the project gave him the belief that black and white could shape and format the story. This wasn't merely a technical decision, but an endorsement of the vision shared by Lachman and Massinger. With some trepidation, Lachman had told Lorraine that a brand new black and white camera might be a possibility, not knowing if it could be done. He didn't want to get the director's hopes up. Lachman found out only 10 days before shooting that the camera would indeed be available. He says, "Then we had to get the production to agree that they were going to shoot it this way. In most situations, producers and studios want you to shoot in colour and convert to black and white, so they cover themselves. But Pablo managed to get the commitment from Netflix in South America to really shoot it in black and white." In seeking a visual approach, Lachman and Lorraine were inspired by classic movies of the gothic and horror genres. The cinematographer says, "I was looking at classic black and white films by Carl Dreyer and F.W. Murnau, as well as Joseph von Sternberg. Their physicality of light and their use of textures in the set supported the themes of their stories. We eventually came up with our own style, but I was definitely inspired by how ingenious they were with in-camera photography." The sense of authenticity that Lachman wanted to bring to the black and white cinematography extended to his choice of lenses. He says, "I sourced period leaded glass with similar design and single layer coating to cover the large format, merging Baltar glass in the wider focal lengths. The Ultra Baltar set, as I call it, comprises of 21, 24, 28, 35, 40, 50, 75, 100, 135 and 152 mil focal lengths. This glass was legendarily used in Touch of Evil, The Magnificent Ambersons and parts of Citizen Kane and The Godfather." Lachman stresses that he is not talking about the Super Baltars created in the 1960s for reflex cameras, which were totally different in design and coatings, but the original Baltars, developed in the late 1930s and used in the 1940s to early 1950s for non-reflex rack-over cameras, primarily on black and white films. He says, "So now I had a monochromatic digital camera with real black and white lenses. We shot tests and it was beyond my imagination. I was getting things out of the camera that I would never have gotten out of a colour camera, because every pixel is dedicated to illumination." Massinger explains this technical aspect of the monochrome modified Alexa Mini LF. He says, "It's down to the Bayer pattern in the camera, the colour filter array. In black and white, you don't have to subtract other colours. You don't have to interpolate in the demosaicing process and suddenly you just see more light. The luminance increases, and you're also capturing more detail and texture, so it feels like higher resolution as well. It's much truer to analog film because you have fewer artifacts and there's no moiré because you're not demosaicing. It's really a very true and honest format." In his own tests, Lachman was particularly impressed with the increased sensitivity. He notes, "I was able to compare it with a normal Alexa Mini LF, which we had for blue screen work, and I determined that the native ASA of 800 was actually 1280 with the monochrome camera, and the 1280 was around 2000. Another factor that helped to create the unique imagery of El Conde was the integration of the L-Zone system using ARRI's Log-C monitoring option, in conjunction with Small HD's latest generation of on-camera monitors. The L-Zone system is an innovative exposure system developed by Lachman and Massinger that determines optimal zones of exposure in real time, ensuring that the dynamic range is preserved even in challenging lighting situations. By analysing the scene's contrast ratios, L-Zone guides cinematographers on the best exposure settings, essentially acting as a dynamic zone system tailored for digital sensors. It also provided an easy-to-understand stop-based exposure heat map, creating a common language and communication between Lachman, his DIT, and the crew. In black-and-white cinematography, where the interplay of light and shadow is paramount, having the ability to define exposure with precision can make the difference between a functional shot and one that resonates. The L-Zone system allowed them to approach scenes with confidence, knowing that the film's visual aesthetics would be captured optimally without the risk of losing detail in highlights or shadows. In essence, it brought a layer of sophistication and reliability to the digital shooting process, echoing the exposure methods of analog film days, but with the adaptability and immediacy required for contemporary filmmaking. Lachman remarks, "As a cinematographer, I felt like Ansel Adams, placing my exposure to set the range of detail in highlights and shadow areas, and defining the image's latitude." The larger canvas of full frame was helpful to Lachman's visual storytelling, with sections of the narrative taking place in the expansive landscapes of Patagonia. "Also," he says, "this is a story about family, and I often had to compose many characters into the frame. Large format allowed us to have the image depth and width we needed to see near-far relationships. The tendency today is to shoot with very shallow focus, which to me just becomes another device of digital. Personally, I prefer deep focus on El Conde, especially with the many characters I had in frame." One of the biggest challenges for Lachman was the scheduling, which meant he had to shoot studio scenes on a set in Santiago before travelling to Patagonia to match the exterior location work. He says, "In the studio, I had to come up with an approach of how I thought the light would be when we got to the location. I had scouted in Patagonia months before, but I had to imagine the way the light would be when we went back during their winter time. This was somewhat easier in black and white because you're not at such a disadvantage to changing colour temperatures during the day. It was all about utilising contrast. The windows on our set had to match the exterior light on location, so I had to study the direction and intensity of the light for different times of day, and I also always asked Pablo about the time of day at which each scene unfolded." While the absence of colour made matching scenes slightly easier, it necessitated careful attention to detail when it came to choosing colours for costumes and sets. Lachman explains, "A good example is the fake blood we used. We did extensive tests with different colours and ended up with blue. Using red blood came out rich black, but blue gave the blood more depth and a certain luminosity. The fact that we were looking at a true black and white image at every stage made it easier for all departments to make the right decision about colour, texture, and reflective surfaces." In the post-production phase at Harbour Picture Company, Lachman collaborated closely with his favourite and esteemed baselight colourist, Joe Gawler. He notes, "Our discussions revolved around the use of black and white filters in many scenes. Utilising a monochromatic sensor and filters gave the scenes a dramatic contrast. Yet, when we lost light, I had to abandon my Harrison filters because of their loss of stop, leading to challenges in post-production. Trying to push the contrast in post presented artifacts around the actors' faces and bodies against the sky, producing an undesirable edge glow. It was a stark reminder of the difference between on-set techniques and post-production. This experience reinforced my belief in filming in black and white with filters overgrading in post." In an unprecedented effort, ARRI Rental was able to provide two prototype Alexa Mini LF monochrome cameras to the production just in time for the start of principal photography. Massinger concludes, "In the realm of black and white, we aren't just capturing images, but the very soul of storytelling, where every shade of grey can speak for itself. We put our trust in ARRI with this new camera, and they came through." The success of the project led ARRI Rental to roll out the model more widely, and it can now be rented from their facilities worldwide, alongside the existing Alexa XT monochrome and Alexa 65 monochrome models. For Lachman, working with rental houses and manufacturers to continually expand the cinematographic toolset is vital. "It's the same reason why I always wanted to keep film around," he says. "Not every story should be told with the same language." The German expressionist artist Emil Nold didn't paint the same way as the modernist Edward Hopper. They had different techniques and tools to create their images. So why shouldn't filmmakers?